Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. Should you be looking at shorting the US dollar for the next few weeks? His reading of the currency market, what's happening with Bitcoin. Bitcoin didn't quite reach 20,000. What sparked the sell-off? And Janet Yellen, expected nomination as Treasury Secretary. I think there's quite a few signs out there in terms of what she could be pointing towards in terms of a Treasury policy. But we get Michael's input into all those questions. He's CEO and founder of Syquation. That's an AI-driven analytics platform that provides traders with actionable insights to improve their trading and to discover trading strategies. We love Michael and the insights he brings to our show. How are you, Michael?
Hi, Michelle. Great to be with you again. Yeah, I was. You said it's raining there.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yes, you're right.
Well, it's scorching hot, yeah, but 35 degrees. But,
in Sydney.
In Sydney, yeah, I should have said that. It's scorching hot day, yeah, but I think you guys at 32 with rain, my gosh, the humidity must be off the charts.
You should see my hair. Oh, goodness me, standing on
it. I don't have any hair to worry about. I haven't brushed my hair in 20 years. So.
what a happy problem to have in this climate, Michael. We got to get you over to Singapore soon, as these travel bubbles expand. All right, let's start, Michael, with the currency markets, which I know that you monitor very closely. So I was reading an analyst report that said maybe it's a good idea to short U.S. dollars get short on U.S. dollars in the next few weeks, you know, saying there was huge corporate U.S. dollar demand before Thanksgiving, and that caused the dollar to rip higher earlier in the week on what is usually nothing just but a data point for FX markets, the strong US PMI. But now USD demand has been fully stopped up. He's expecting torrential downpour of dollar supply for the month's end. What do you make of the currency markets?
Yeah, so can I start with just giving some, let's just look at the macro picture to get a sense of where we're at, and I'll go into this in a little bit more detail. But when we spoke last, which was just before the election, I think it was 2-3 days, I recall saying to you that I don't trust the polls. I didn't go as far as to say that Trump, you can play back the recording, so I know I'm not making this up, that I mentioned the thing called preference falsification, that people are just too scared to say what they were truly doing. So that I found was quite interesting, and it proves that these polls were useless. So anyway, putting that aside, we find ourselves in a position right now where, firstly, valuations are incredibly high. Let's call it in the equity markets to begin with. So you had Trump having a press conference, just a 1-minute press conference, to tell the world that the Dow had hit 30,000. You know, quite incredible. You've got the valuations of the stock market, if you use this thing called CAPE, which is, you know, cyclically adjusted price earnings ratio, it's almost at its all time high. So valuations are extreme. I'll just give you one or two other little points. We've got sentiment extreme, very, very bullish. We've got more than 91% of the companies in the S&P 500 that are above the 200-day moving average. So people are extremely bullish, and we're still in the throes of a pandemic here where, you know, the virus is wreaking havoc across the globe. And so the market's extremely positive. It believes this vaccine is going to work, and so on and so forth. But what has really driven this market, and here we come into the currency side of things, but we first got to look at what's actually driven this market to these extremes. And it's been the fact that interest rates have come down to such a low level that no one's able to really price assets anymore, because anyone who's been to business school or studied finance, you know that you have a risk-free rate, which is kind of the benchmark, and then you have to put some premium on top of that. And there is how you value things, but when you've got your risk-free at close to zero, you've got a situation where you've got Greece. I mean, remember the Greeks were being bailed out 2 minutes ago. Their five-year yield has touched negative. So it's quite astounding that you've got yields in Greece and in Italy that are now, I'm talking in the 5 years, if you go shorter term, they're negative. And, they've got better, they're trading at a higher valuation, let's call it, than the US, which is still the reserve currency of the world and all this kind of stuff. So it's quite amazing that the dollar still continues to weaken given all these situations. So basically what I'm trying to say is that nothing makes sense. Absolutely nothing makes sense today. So I'll quote, there's a very famous hedge fund manager, Seth Klarman, and he says, you must always be prepared for the unexpected, including sudden sharp downward swings in markets and the economy. Whatever adverse scenario you can contemplate, reality can be far worse. So I've got that out of the way. Whatever I'm going to say to you now is I'm just like the other guys out there who are, putting forward a narrative, but yes. Can we really say with any degree of certainty this is likely to be? The answer is no. But I definitely see pressure on the US dollar, and certainly on a technically it's looking. I was taking a look at the charts, and the US dollar topped in 1985 was where its last highs were. So we are a long, 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 long way. It's been the US dollar has been dropping for decades, and I don't see that trend actually changing in the short term. The only thing that I can think of that's going to jump in the face, well, let's say stop this continual decline, is number one, if there's another sudden crisis. We saw it with COVID. We've seen it in the past. Whenever there's a disaster looming, be it a war, be it a pandemic, people go for safe haven. They go to the safe havens, and the US dollar is still the world's currency reserve. So if there's a crisis, we reached 50,000 on the Dow, and we're probably going to still continue to go further up, just for the simple reason, the central banks and fiscal stimulus, they're pumping it into the system, and this is what's driving, the liquidity is driving these asset bubbles. But if there is, and I was trying to wax lyrical with Seth Klarman's comment there, we expect the unexpected. We shouldn't think that, okay, there's liquidity, there's going to be more liquidity, and that it will go on forever. Because nothing goes on forever. And it's easy for me to come on here and tell your listeners, everything's going to rise on the sea of liquidity and you should go all in. But I've been around during 2000, I've been around during 2007. And things come unstuck very quickly, and therefore you've got to be very cautious. So I'm normally one to take a view, but I'm taking a more middle of the range type of view that it's unknown what's really going to happen in the very near term.
What about those Federal Reserve, the FOMC minutes, saying that they're going to expand their bond buying program?
Yeah.
Did you see any impact in terms of USD price action?
Yes, yeah, so I can see that they're definitely going to expand their balance sheet. It's already, it's unbelievable. They've got a $7 trillion balance sheet. I think it's increased by $4 trillion this year. But what does that all mean? It probably means that the markets are going to continue to go up in the short term. But I say that every dollar being spent to make things go up is having less and less of an effect. It's kind of like, friction. Eventually, it starts to slow things down, and you can't just continue to print more and more and more and more to keep things going up. So when does that party end? I don't know, but yes, there's certainly going to be more printing, and that's why you're seeing what you're seeing in the currency markets, because and certainly the dollar, with all this new printing, people are worried about inflation, and they think, you know, the value of the currency is going to be worth less. So there's all this fear of inflation, which has been what's driving, which has been driving gold and Bitcoin, and we'll talk about Bitcoin in a second, but it's been driving gold. But the interesting thing, and this is where it really gets complicated, and if it was easy, we'd all be doing it, we'd all be billionaires, but there is no inflation. So I looked at the numbers, all the numbers that came out recently, and there's more of a pointing towards deflation than there is inflation. And even in China, actually, I'm seeing some of the numbers are very deflationary in the Chinese economy as well. So with all this printing, with all this printing, there is still no inflation. Now, does that mean inflation is just going to come later? And that's why it's actually causing a bit of a pause on the gold price. You've seen that gold has, in the last couple of weeks, has been selling off. Gold and silver has, you know, in fact, it was the 5th of August that gold had reached its high. So it's been a couple of months of decline. And I think that's because no one can see this inflation that everyone's been afraid of that's coming from all the printing, which means there's going to probably be a lot more printing. And we know that Joe Biden has Janet Yellen as his choice for Secretary of State. Not Secretary of State. I've got
Treasury Secretary.
Treasury Secretary. So, you know, she's a former Fed chairwoman, and she's not scared to use that printing press. And I took note that, you know, she did a PhD at Yale, and her supervisor and her mentor was a Nobel Prize winning guy, economist Tobin, James Tobin, and he was a Keynesian through and through. So, you know, Keynesians, they have government intervention and government intervening in the labor markets to avoid joblessness and all that. So I'm expecting her to be very aggressive on, you know, bills that will be passed to stimulate fiscal stimulus. She's going to probably be very, very aggressive, and maybe that will be eventually what stokes the coals of inflation. So
you think Janet Yellen's going to be at the center of the U.S. government's continued borrowing spree?
Yes, I do, and I think she's going to reverse exactly what the Steve Mnuchin has just done. You know, he's just cancelled everything, all the fiscal spending till the end of December. All those programs. I think the programs she'll come up with will be much bigger than anything that the past administration had. And yeah, you know, I remember we spoke in our last call. You were quite, and we both shared the same view on infrastructure. And I saw that, you know, the infrastructure ETFs in the US went on to all-time new highs. So I think there'll be a lot of infrastructure spend, which will probably be a good thing if it's well spent. I just don't know if government can spend money wisely. We've seen it in all the different programs that came out for COVID. I don't know about in Singapore, but I can speak to Australia, I can speak to the US, that you've seen massive, massive rotting of the system where the wrong people were enriched. Money didn't always find its way to the right places, and it didn't work as effectively as it could have. But yes, it did turn the dial, and you know, I guess these things get lost in the bigger scheme of things. However, those things are typically inflationary. So I think we're in for big spending. This is going to be a period of big spending, and yeah, I think that, you know, that is going to be inflationary, and eventually the dollar will bottom, because I think all this will turn, interest rates will eventually start to climb, and the dollar will or base, but I still see quite a lot of weakness in the US dollar for some time. I don't see the inflation that people are worried about in the short term.
So a couple of analysts I speak with say, you know, they're anticipating a continuation of waning demand for safe haven currencies like the US dollar. And, you know, related to that, I wanted to ask what you make of the recent price action with Bitcoin. So it came to within $7 of Bitcoin's all-time high overnight, and then the selling kicked in, the cryptocurrency plunging nearly $3,000 amid fears of tighter regulations, and this in hours. Perhaps it was just profit taking that kicked in. Bitcoin's still up 25% this month, 140% since the beginning of the year. What are you seeing with regards to where Bitcoin is heading and why?
This has been quite phenomenal, and I've actually been very involved. I've been trading actually a lot of Bitcoin on the futures and options. You know, there's futures and options you get on Bitcoin. So I've had a keen interest. And you've seen all these institutional players, all these new institutional players get involved and buying Bitcoin. And,
like PayPal and Square,
and Fidelity and we've seen a lot of institutional buying, and you've seen people talking about, well, Bitcoin fair value is around $300,000 or $180,000, these crazy numbers. So I think people all started jumping onto that bandwagon, and there was a classic FOMO. Yeah, you didn't want to be left out. If this is potentially the new reserve currency or a new currency to protect value, the store of value, then you don't want to miss out. But and by the way, I believe 70% of all transactions in Bitcoin of the last month were PayPal related. So that's interesting. Is that this new player in town, I think, has created some interesting dynamics. But there are two things I wanted to say that just anecdotally that I thought were interesting. So this volatility is actually very destabilizing for this currency to be, you know, to be used in the ordinary course of events. I'll explain what I mean. There's a subscription service that I'd like to use for a particular piece of technology, and this company only charges, so their subscription rates are done in Bitcoin. And you know, you just said it. Bitcoin's up 25% for the month, but they still charge in the same amount of Bitcoin. So it became 25% more expensive for me to use the service in the course of a month. I won't use it now, and because you know it's too volatile. And I think just listening to some of the conversation on Twitter amongst the pundits today, they were saying a lot of institutional fund managers will be having a tough time with eating their turkey because they might be choking on some turkey here because a lot of them are late entrants to this Bitcoin story, and now some of them are wearing, you know, 10, 15, 20% losses. I know, you know, if they haven't realized them, you know, if it's for the long haul, yeah, sure, it's fine. But yeah, I was, to be honest with you, I was a bit surprised that it pulled back without at least breaking the high of a couple of years ago. So my short-term actual call on this is that we probably needed, or it was parabolic, so we needed this pullback. We're going to probably consolidate for a little bit around here, and there's no question in my mind that we will test soon that high. I think it was 19,800, something around there. Three years ago. So, I wouldn't bet against the new all-time high in Bitcoin very soon. I think it's coming. But once again, I think it's important that people realize this is a highly volatile instrument. Anything that moves, that kind of, you know, you cannot have all your wealth in an instrument that goes up and down 10-15% in a day. You'll have people jumping off cliffs if they put all their wealth in that kind of stuff. And to conclude my comment on Bitcoin, I heard rumors that Steve Mnuchin from the Treasury Secretary is going to leave the administration passing some new regulatory rules before the end of December. This is strong whispers, apparently, and it will be around KYC. It will be around knowing who your client is. So people who thought they'd be able to, you know, own these Bitcoin in a very non-identified in a kind of off-the-grid type of environment, it could become outlawed. And I suspect that is probably one of the catalysts that caused this pullback, that people said, oh, maybe it's
right.
Maybe there is a law going to be passed of some nature. And you've seen it. You've seen how strict the U.S. government has been pursuing certain of the owners of these different exchanges and arresting them for breaches of KYC and all this kind of other kind of onboarding protocols. So, yeah, I see more regulation coming to Bitcoin, which will, on the one hand, will take some of its shine off, but I think long-term it's actually needed because it's still too much of the Wild West, and if it's going to be heavily adopted, there need to be a few more rules around it. So that's my two cents of Bitcoin worth.
That's very expensive Bitcoin. Very expensive 2 cents, I should say. It would be interesting because I think you're the first analyst to come on to say, you know, there could be new regulation for Bitcoin coming ahead. So I'd love to play back this segment sometime in December and say, hey, Michael, you were absolutely spot on. So basically, this idea that institutional investors coming in like PayPal, Square, buying up most of the new Bitcoin supply, you see these whales adding to the volatility, adding to these big waves that then impact the mainstream adoption of Bitcoin, being able to use it to actually pay, as you mentioned, for a subscription?
Yeah, so it's quite strange because these big names that you just described, these corporates that are buying it, you know, they're buying it to hold, so they're not going to be trading it. So it shouldn't be increasing the volatility, but what it's doing is it's increasing the scarcity of free float, what's out there trading in the marketplace. And therefore, we know we shortly come into an end of the production of the mining of new Bitcoin. So I stand to be corrected. I think we're close to 19 million Bitcoin, and at 21, it's overs cadavers. There's no new Bitcoin coming on market. So I think all the volatility has been to the upside. Market has been shooting up. But it is important to see a healthy market is a market that goes up and down, and I don't know, I personally don't know how we get rid of this volatility, and these are the parts I still don't know how it's going to play out. So the great macro thinkers that I'm following are saying to me, Michael, this is Bitcoin is the gambler's version of gold. You should really not be putting all your reserve, all your defense into Bitcoin. Gold is still the number one player, and Bitcoin still is potentially great, but it's still relatively unknown, and it is relatively unknown. I don't think 10 years is a long time for a currency.
All right. Great insights there, Michael. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Michael Berman, live here on Money and Me, joining us live from Sydney. He's CEO and founder of Psyquation. Have a great day ahead, Michael.
Thank you, Michelle. Great talking.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.